Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this week's edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. This week, we're going to be focusing on the hurricane relief and, of course, the alert now for the East Coast in Florida as Hurricane Irma is bearing down on the eastern side of the United States. But in Houston, Texas, and in South Texas, where Hurricane Harvey wreaked major floods, historic floods, floods that some are estimating 800-year floods of over 2 feet of rain that dropped on Houston continuously for a four-day period and flooded the nation's fourth-largest city and its region in urban area. And then, of course, the relief effort is underway. President Donald Trump issued a statement pertaining to and a proclamation of prayer with various clergymen in his office last week. And I want to read that proclamation of prayer by President Trump. President Trump of the United States of America do hereby proclaim September 3rd, 2017 as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. We give thanks for the generosity and goodness of all those who have responded to the needs of their fellow Americans. I urge Americans of all faiths and religious traditions and backgrounds to offer prayers today for all those harmed by Hurricane Harvey, including people who have lost family members or been injured, those who have lost homes or other property, or for the first responders, law enforcement officers, military personnel, and medical professionals leading the response and recovery efforts. Each of us, in our own way, may call upon our God for strength and comfort during this difficult time. I call on all Americans and houses of worship throughout the nation to join in one voice of prayer as we seek to uplift one another and assist those suffering from the consequences of this terrible storm. In witness whereof I have hereto set my hand this first day of September in the year of our Lord 2017. This is the proclamation of prayer by President Donald Trump last week, and of course, on Sunday, many churches prayed across the country. Now we're facing another urgent situation weather-wise with Hurricane Irma, which is, by some projections, the largest hurricane ever formed in the Mid-Atlantic and is bearing down on the Virgin Islands in the Caribbean and has its eyes on Florida. Let's go to this Fox News report now.
Overnight images. Hurricane Irma, the most powerful Atlantic hurricane in recorded history, slamming that Caribbean island overnight. Brand new video showing the Category 5 storm with winds hitting over 200 miles an hour the moment it hit St. Martin.
That video is unreal. And it is now on the move, heading straight towards the U.S., towards Florida. Governor Rick Scott activating the National Guard, declaring a state of emergency as the monster storm, packed with winds of over 180 miles per hour, inches closer to the U.S.
Our own Adam Klotz tracking its path right now, giving us updates all morning. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning, guys. And this one is a big one. Now take a look at this. 35 miles east-southeast of St. Martin, moving that direction at 16 miles an hour. So those folks need to be taking cover, but likely already have. Wind still at 185 miles an hour. Once we move through the Lesser Antilles, San Juan, Puerto Rico is up next, likely passing by in the overnight hours tonight, as that's the system that they'll be dealing with. No surprise here. We're looking at all the islands now under hurricane warnings. Puerto Rico tonight again, then moving on to the Dominican Republic, Haiti, all just north of these islands, running through the Bahamas, then coming up next. Guys, we're really looking at a Sunday morning timeline is when we're getting just south of Florida, and we'll have a better idea of where it's going to turn and who's going to be most affected.
All right, Adam, thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam. A lot.
Okay, that is a report from Fox News, and with us on the phone, calling from Inglewood, Florida, actually our good friend Guy Wayman, who is live on the air, on the radio in Florida, and Guy is going to give us an update of exactly what's taking place there as far as preparation in the state of Florida. Also with us on the phone is Pastor Gary Click of the Fremont Baptist Temple and Pastor Al Davis, no stranger to the airwaves here, is Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Baptist Church will be joining me in just a minute to talk about the president's proclamation of prayer this last weekend. But let's go to Guy Wayman, who's on the air right now in Inglewood, Florida, as preparations are underway and tracking of this storm and a very serious situation. Guy, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having us on down here in Englewood, up in the Cleveland area, Chris, and it's good to return the favor.
Well, that's right, my friend, and of course, our prayers and thoughts are with all of those in the path of this storm, which by all accounts right now is one of the largest, if not the largest, most powerful hurricane that has been in recent memory, maybe even on record. Last night, they recorded winds of gusts of over 225 miles an hour, sustained winds of 185 as it bared down on the Caribbean islands. Your thoughts?
Yes, we've been contacting Jerry Mallett of the Emergency Management System. He's the Director of Emergency Management of Charlotte County. And every day we've been getting updates. And they've got their CERT team, which is the emergency response team. They've already been on scene since 2 days ago. And they're ready to go on full bore activation one this weekend sometime on Saturday.
Well, Guy, you know, the governor obviously has called for an evacuation. You know, I've been to the Florida Keys. We used to travel there when I was a kid. And, of course, they're only 1 to 2 feet above sea level. Most of the Keys are actually crushed coral rock fill, landfill, not very weather-worthy of a hurricane. And there hasn't been a hurricane that's come through there of this strength in some time, decades, actually. Is the Keys actually evacuating as we speak?
The visitors were ordered to evacuate this morning at 7 a.m. The residents will be at 7 p.m. this evening. Now, not all the residents will leave. Now, the governor, it's a multi-stage process. The governor declares the state of emergency, which then activates everything statewide, which also means that people cannot be price gouging like water and essential items that you might need in a hurricane. But then by him declaring that for the state of Florida, then opens it up for the president to declare federal funds to come down here and FEMA to now get in place to ready to go. So it's a multi-phase project, and Rick Scott's done a great job.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think everyone is taking these storms very seriously as they saw what happened in Houston in just a few days' time, how quickly Harvey materialized into a category 4 storm and wreaked havoc on South Texas. Now I think people are taking these warnings very seriously, as they should. Now, again, in South Florida, the tracking of the storm right now, what is the latest as to where they think this thing might head?
All right. The latest, and we've been told that we should not maybe follow the tracking or the spaghetti models, but it's merely a guide because it's that cone of uncertainty. However, if we follow that in the center on Sunday morning at 8 a.m., it should be very close to Miami, and it looks like it's going to skirt along the east coast of Florida, and then on Monday morning, just south of Jacksonville, and it's probably going to have its sights set on the Carolinas.
Well, I'll tell you, Guy, and all those who are listening in your area, our thoughts are for all the folks in the path of this storm, and we're praying that it really heads out into the Atlantic and doesn't bother you at all, and that's our prayer, and I know that the eyes of the nation are watching, and we're all very concerned, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, my friend.
All right, and thanks, and hello to all the friends up there in Cleveland.
Absolutely. We're sending our good thoughts your way. God bless you, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, that was Guy Wayman live on the air in Inglewood, Florida, from his afternoon drive time. With me on the phone is Pastor Al Davis, Pastor Gary Click. Pastors, last week we went through this already. We have many people that are actually heading down to Texas to help with a relief effort there, and then we're facing another storm. The president did call the nation to prayer, but I think he should have made a continuation of prayer, Pastor Al.
Oh, absolutely, Chris, and thank you for having me on. You know, our church prayed for the effects of Hurricane Harvey, those affected by Hurricane Harvey this past Sunday. And we're praying for those in Florida as well. I mean, this is the biggest storm, they say, since 1935 to hit across the Keys there with a storm, a Category 5 hurricane coming in. Very dangerous. And we need to be praying.
That's exactly right. In fact, when we were visiting down in the Keys way back in the day, there was a restaurant that actually had a lighthouse as part of the decor of the restaurant. And they said that the people that did not evacuate actually went into that little lighthouse. The water came halfway up it, meaning all the Keys were underwater from the storm surge, and a handful of people survived on that one key. Let's hope that's not the case again, and we're really praying for these folks that this storm veer off and into the Atlantic. Pastor Gary, your thoughts?
Well, just listening to Guy a few minutes ago talking about Miami, very personal for me. My daughter-in-law's father and her family are in Pembroke Pines, which is just north of Miami. He pastors a church up there, and I was just texting back and forth with him this morning. And so it makes it a little more personal that our prayers are out there for them and that God would watch over them and watch over that church and protect them during this time.
Well, that's right, and I think it's important. You know, last Saturday, we saw where the president called for a National Day of Prayer for those affected by Houston, and it was a coming together and surrounded by religious leaders. One of them was Pastor Robert Jeffers, who, by the way, is coming to Northeast Ohio on September 12th. Those of you that can make it at the TCT Studios, he'll be doing a live broadcast from there, and you just contact TCT Television Studios there in the Akron area and make arrangements for seating. They can seat up to 200 people in the studio, but Pastor Jeffers will be with us. He's the one that led in prayer with the president and encouraged the president, the vice president at these times and commended them for the proclamation of prayer. And I think,
right,
you know, we're getting back to where you know, the Oval Office really depends on a higher office, and that is
right,
the Lord our God. Your thoughts, Pastor Al?
That's absolutely true, because, you know, God, the Bible says God sets up leaders, and Daniel recognized that in Daniel chapter 2. And we have to understand that President Trump, his responsibility is, yes, to the country, but it's also to God. And as somebody that I believe may very well be born again Christian, he certainly should recognize that, and we as pastors need to recognize that, and lead our churches to recognize that our nation needs to turn to God in times of trouble and in the good times. And this is certainly a time of national trouble, and these hurricanes coming in, and it should remind us as a people we need to be dependent upon God. Our leaders need to be dependent on God. We need to elect godly leaders.
That's right. In fact, we've had quite a lull. Actually, the Atlantic's been pretty peaceful over the last number of years, where we haven't seen a lot of hurricanes, and now it seems that we're seeing these storms back to back, and it's very unnerving. But at the same time, it causes us to get a hold of heaven and to really pray. Pastor Gary.
Well, that's absolutely right, you know, and I was one of those maybe early on in the primaries who was a little skeptical of Trump, but he certainly has earned my respect, and just watching how he does call our nation to prayer, he surrounded himself with godly people who urge him in that direction, and he's certainly very receptive to that. And when we come to these times, there's certainly times that drive us and guide our eyes upwards towards the heavens. Even if you go back to the founding of our nation, you know, when there was a lot of trouble and disturbance, even in just putting our Constitution together, it was Benjamin Franklin who said that experience taught him that God intervenes in the affairs of men. And so I think our president recognizes that, and the men around him recognize that. And I'm very thankful to have a leader and a commander-in-chief who's turning his eyes upwards. He's not just saying, I can do this by myself, or we can do it by ourselves, but he is showing us and leading the path of dependency upon God. The scripture that they use, the Psalm 46:1, which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And that's one of the things that we have to remember in this time, is that God does truly hear and answer our prayers.
Mm. That's exactly right. And Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And we pray for all those who are in the path of this storm that they would do just that and take refuge in the Lord. You know, because we saw some of the video coming out this morning from the storm that hit the islands last night, and it really looked like a tornado that had hit the beaches there, and it was terrible. In fact, they said buildings were flattened. In fact, all the reports of the affected areas have not come out as of yet, because there's no broadcast signals from there as of yet, and authorities and emergency crews haven't been able to get to them. So we do pray for everyone who's in the path of the storm. It looks like Puerto Rico, Haiti, and then, of course, on to South Florida, depending upon, again, the projections. And our prayers are, and folks, we ask you to pray that this storm move off in the Atlantic and away from land. We just need to pray, because obviously there's a life and limb that are of people in the way of the storm, and very dangerous. And of course, people losing their livelihoods. We look in Houston, that's going to be a long time recovery. People that have lost everything, upwards of 100,000 homes, they believe have been flood damage to where they're inhabitable. So, I mean, it's going to be a very long process. FEMA is going to be on the ground there. Relief organizations like Samaritan's Purse. I know that the National Baptist Association has people on the ground, a number of charitable organizations. And folks, do some vetting before you give your contribution. We do encourage you to give a contribution above that which you'd give to your local church in your tithe, but in your offering and to your charitable giving. But pray about it and seek. Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's group, is very worthy of that contribution. They're sometimes the first ones in, along with some other faith organizations that do some very tangible work, and will be for weeks and months to come. Pastor Gary, your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. I think that the Word of God teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive, certainly. And in a time when there are people in our nation, nobody more so than the church, believers in Jesus Christ, ought to be giving and sharing for those who are in need, making sure, again, like you said, to vet them, those donations, that they go to reputable organizations. It's a shame that there are so many people that have just such evil in their hearts that at a time like this, many scams arise, and people will put up these GoFundMe pages and things like this that are just really not reputable, and you don't know where the funds are going. So let's all just together join hands, and let's be charitable. Let's give as Christ would give. And let's give to those reputable organizations that we know are going to be providing relief. And, of course, as you mentioned, Samaritan's Purse is an excellent way to do that.
That's right. And there's a National Baptist charitable group as well. Their name escapes me, but they've done some great work over the years as well. I think the one gentleman was there with the president in the Oval Office and thanking the president and talking about the people that were on the ground already, providing meals, providing assistance and supplies to those folks that will need it for some time to come. Pastor Al.
Right, Chris. And again, I second the thought of vetting these places, because the con artists that seem to come out of the woodwork at these times. But, you know, something I wanted to mention, too, when we think about this, it's not just the prayers and the giving of money and financial resources and relief supplies. This is an opportunity for God's people to show the love of Christ. I read some reports just this morning from a pastor in the Houston area. And, some of their people have been hurt and damaged, homes and things during this Hurricane Harvey. But as a church, they have been working with some of these relief agencies, bringing relief supplies to people, going into homes, delivering water, delivering food and supplies, helping take out wet carpeting and ruined furniture and things like that. And he said, it's given us the opportunity to walk into the homes of complete strangers, minister to their physical needs, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Mm. So in the midst of the turmoil, there's an opportunity for God's people to make a difference.
Well, that's exactly right. And go ahead, Pastor Gary, your thoughts.
No, I'm saying that's absolutely right. This is a time for the love of a Christian to shine forth, and that the world might see our good works and honor our Father, which is in heaven. And we need to be active and engaged and consult your local churches, because many times there may be a church that knows a church or an organization down there that they're working through specifically. And, you know, we will probably do that here ourselves with some churches we know in the area. And that way, when that happens, you really do know that those dollars are going straight to people who are in need, and where it can make a difference, and where it can make a difference in the name of Christ as well.
Well, that's right. And there will be an opportunity, folks, because churches will be organizing teams to go down to maybe spend 4 or 5 days or a week actually helping people clean out their homes that have been flood damaged. They're going to need a lot of assistance tearing out drywall, getting rid of, soiled goods, and it's just a lot of man hours. So it's a real work of love. And I know that during Katrina, we had teams that went down there from Ohio, and Ohio is always Johnny on the spot. I mean, we have some people already dispatched to Texas that are working down there. Other people have signed up to go. Let's hope we don't need that in South Florida. Let's hope this storm veers off, but we'll keep you posted, and we'll be having folks on. Pastor Gary, lead us in a word of prayer over the situation with this storm. We'd appreciate that.
Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask, Lord, that you would have your will and your way in what's taking place in Florida at this moment and with this hurricane. Lord, we know that you are the one who calmed the seas. Lord, we also understand that you calmed the seas not to save their lives, but in order to calm their own spirits. And Lord, we do pray that during this time you would give a calmness, you would give faith, and you would give trust. But Lord, we also pray that you might just steer this storm out to sea and away from the land and away from people and away from civilization and all that takes place there. And I pray that you would give strength to those who are in the storm. Lord, we know many are not leaving. I know, you know, my friend Brother Keeley, Lord, he's staying there so he can take care of his flock and those who are in need right there. And I pray that you would strengthen him and other pastors and other Christians in that community who are staying behind to help others. Mm. Lord, we pray that the damage would be minimal, and we pray that the spirits would be high. Give them your strength, your love, your power, your grace, Lord, and everything that they need in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor Gary. Again, blessings to you and the work that you're doing there at Fremont Baptist Church. We appreciate that. Pastor Al, thank you, my friend. And let's just encourage folks to continue to pray. And we'll believe God for this, and we'll give you all folks an update. And we'll circle back on this one. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
God bless you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. God bless. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Josh Mandel will be joining us to talk about his faith outreach as part of his campaign for the U.S. Senate. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Okay, I do want to make an announcement about an event that's going to happen on Saturday, September 9th, and that is the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. And there will be an observance at Holy Cross Cemetery. That's at 100 East Waterloo Road. Northeast Ohio Right to Life has invited a number of guests to come and to pray and to hold an observance at 1 p.m. again at Holy Cross Cemetery. It is the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. I will be there. I will be offering prayers. Our Lieutenant Governor, Mary Taylor, will be there. Other special guests, Pastor Al from Live with Pastor Al here on the station will also be there. And we'll be praying and interceding and, you know, remembering those who aborted children over the Holocaust of abortion in this country. And we'll be praying for the end of abortion. Well, with me on the phone is our good friend, State Treasurer Josh Mandel, and he made news this last week as he launched a faith coalition as part of his campaign for the U.S. Senate, and also made an announcement about his support of doing away with the Johnson Amendment. We'll talk about that. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hey, Chris. Always good to be on.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And, of course, last week was a big week of news around the state of Ohio as you made news with your U.S. Senate run. Explain to us a little bit about the Faith Coalition and what that means to you and to your campaign.
Sure. Well, a serious component of our campaign for U.S. Senate to defeat Sherrod Brown and bring strong values, traditional values to Washington, is ensuring that we have a faith coalition in every county in the state. So we are now the only statewide campaign that we know of, Senate or governor, in the state of Ohio that has a faith coalition of Christian activists throughout the state of Ohio who are helping us to deliver our message in every corner of the state. Right now we have regional chairs, and eventually, you know, we're going to build out co-chairs throughout other parts of the state as well. One of the reasons we're doing this is because I believe very strongly in faith and family. I also believe it's important to protect the Judeo-Christian values on which our country was founded and grew strong. You know, there's a lot of people on the far left who are trying to water down on our Judeo-Christian values, and personally, I believe at this time, we should be doubling down on those Judeo-Christian values.
Well, you know, President Trump has really launched an initiative for the first time in a number of years now. He held the National Day of Prayer observance at the White House in the Rose Garden. I was actually there and was invited guest. It was a great honor. And it was the first time in 8 years that the National Day of Prayer Committee was invited back to the White House. Franklin Graham was there, Tony Perkins, Ann Graham Lotz, who was the chairwoman this year of the National Day of Prayer Committee, and a number of other religious leaders of Christian and Jewish backgrounds and Orthodox and Protestant and Catholic, were there to observe the National Day of Prayer with the president. And he made an announcement that day in the Rose Garden, and that was that he was signing an executive order to be followed up with possible legislation in the U.S. Congress to do away with the so-called Johnson Amendment. Now, the Johnson Amendment was Lyndon Johnson, named after him when he was in Congress, when literally churches in the state of Texas were giving him a hard time. They weren't in support of him and some of his antics as a politician, and they were letting it be known. Well, he was able to pass what's called the Johnson Amendment, which put restrictions on nonprofits or C3s or churches that were filed with the IRS of tax exempt status, and that they could not speak in a partisan way politically pertaining to endorsement or refraining from endorsement of any political party or candidate. And so that's how things have been run for a number of years. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a C4 organization. We don't endorse candidates. We do give equal opportunity in our forums for each side to be able to present their argument of why they're running for office. But the Johnson Amendment, you're in support of doing away with that. Explain.
Listen, I believe that pastors and priests and rabbis and others who are preaching from the pulpit, these are also American citizens. And just because they are clergy in their church or synagogue doesn't mean that they should have their First Amendment rights stripped from them. They should still maintain their freedom of speech and obviously a freedom of religion. And it's something that seems pretty clear to me that we should allow American citizens to have that uninfringed First Amendment and have a freedom of expression. And so I'm standing strong. This is something, obviously, that President Trump has put forth an executive order, but I believe that the United States House and Senate should make it law.
Well, that's what this nation was founded upon. I agree with you. In fact, my wife and I just had the opportunity and privilege of touring Freedom Trail in Boston, Mass., Old Town Boston, where all the historic trails of Boston Commons, where the great gatherings of the American Revolution took place. Actually, George Whitfield, the great evangelist who would preach up to 20,000 people at a time without the ability to have it broadcast over electronic amplification. Think about that, Josh. He was able to speak to 20,000 people at a time, and they were able to hear him. So that was by the estimation of Ben Franklin, the scientist Ben Franklin. He actually estimated that up to 30,000 people, he did a mathematic equation walking from the point at which Whitfield had begun to speak and out to the perimeter, and he estimated that upwards of 30,000 people could have heard George Whitfield speak. And of course, you know, this the Great Awakening was basically the seeds of the American Revolution, and really came from the church. You know, the churches were very instrumental. In fact, when you walk Freedom Trail, you're walking not just the common house or the government building, but you're also walking by houses of worship that were very instrumental in our nation's founding and for our the birthplace of freedom. And so the church was very much involved. And I think there are those, I agree with you, that they want to silence the church's voice, and that would be a terrible thing. And it has been over the years. When the church hasn't been able to weigh in on public policy or in the guidance of the nation to give that kind of moral undergirding to a given issue or a situation, it's been a very terrible time for our country. Consequently, the flip of that is when houses of worship, houses of faith have been able to weigh in on public policy, the results have been very positive for our country at large. So I agree with you. I think there are those, in fact, atheist groups, they send out a threatening letter every election cycle. Maybe you've seen some of these. Maybe pastors have presented them to you and saying, look, you know, this is what I receive in the mail. And it's a threatening letter to not distribute voter guides, you know, these kinds of things. And we, in fact, as an organization, we do a nonpartisan voter guide. We're simply surveying the candidates, publishing the results, and kind of like Fox News, we report, you decide. You know, we don't make an endorsement of candidates, but yet still these atheist groups are threatening pastors, threatening churches, and trying to intimidate them from activity. Your thoughts?
Listen, I think there's a lot of people in this country who've perverted a lot of what this nation was founded on. And in my mind, this nation was founded on a freedom of religion, not a freedom from religion. And, you know, we should be instilling that into the next generations. And it's something that, you know, we're trying to do in positions of leadership is make sure that the kids and grandkids of America know that that freedom of religion and that freedom of expression is something that's foundational in who we are as a country, as a nation.
That's exactly right. You know, we can look through our nation's history where, for instance, the abolitionist movement, you know, it began in the church, you know, that slavery was evil, that we had to abolish slavery, that we had to get rid of this scorn in our nation. And so those voices were most loudest in the pulpits of our country, you know, largely in the North, but also in the South. There were other voices that were abolitionists against slave trade and against slavery as a practice. We look at the civil rights movement. We look at, you know, Martin Luther King. I mean, the great movement of the nonviolent civil rights movement that Martin Luther King represented and the houses of worship and faith. You know, they played a large role in what became a great change in this country. And, you know, so these are wonderful examples where the church can speak to public policy and must. And there are other, consequently, there are times when we've been quiet and unfortunately, great evil has taken place. Let's say the abortion issue. You know, at first, the Protestant church and was pretty much silent on the issue of abortion in 1973. Only the Catholic Church was speaking out. But later, it became apparent people realized this isn't just a form of birth control. This is actually a holocaust of children through abortion through the ninth month, and they realized what terrible mistake we had made, and the court deciding that abortion was legal in the United States, and we're still fighting that battle. We're winning it over in the hearts and minds of young people, but still. As far as legislation, we're making some gains, but we're not there yet. Abortion's still the law of the land in this country. So, yeah, I agree with you, Josh. I mean, this is the opportunity for us to be able to speak to these issues. And some churches still feel restrained by the Johnson Amendment, by the threat of the IRS, and those who would actually use that against the church. Your thoughts?
Unfortunately, you've had people in positions of government who've abused that power and have tried to essentially weaponize it against men and women of faith and, you know, private sector businesses. You know, we saw that with the Hobby Lobby case, and you know, we've seen that with some other cases. And so, you know, I think we need people in positions of leadership who are willing to stand up, but also stand strong, because when the liberals are attacking and the media is attacking and even people in your own party are attacking, you know, you need folks who have a strong backbone and core values, not folks who are going to get wobbly-legged. And, you know, when I get to the United States Senate representing the state of Ohio, I will be guided by strong core values, not a lobbyist directory and, you know, not any political bosses in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I'll just do what's right by the people of Ohio.
You know, what you referenced is so important, because we're talking with State Treasurer Josh Mindell, who's running as a candidate for the U.S. Senate seat next year in 2018 as the Republican nominee. He's hoping to win the primary. It looks like you will have a primary challenge, but it's so important what you're saying, because, for instance, you referenced Hobby Lobby. That case, ultimately, the court had decided, because of a law that was on the books that actually addressed the religious right of conscience and applying to those owners of the company. If that wasn't done in legislation, there would be no court case that would have favored Hobby Lobby. And they would have had the tyrannical view of Obamacare and the order of providing abortifacients and birth control to their employees in contradiction to their religious faith and beliefs. And it was because of legislation that was passed. So, you know, you're spot on here, Josh, that this is an important time. You say, well, we have a window of time now. It's more favorable atmosphere in Washington. We talked earlier about the president calling for the National Day of Prayer and inviting clergymen to come in and welcoming them in the White House. But it won't always be that way. There will be someone else in the office in the next few years. They may not hold the same view, and they may actually have a very arbitrary view about people of faith if it runs in conflict with their public policy. And that becomes dangerous. And if we don't have these things in place and to fall back on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, but also what legislation that reflects that in the Bill of Rights, it does spell trouble in the courts for us, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, that's, you know, one of the reasons why the presidential election was so important, because of the appointment to the Supreme Court, Gorsuch in this case, and very possibly one or two other justices in the next few years. And so, you know, people, writers and journalists and folks in the, you know, who work in the media or work in politics, they were, you know, so surprised that the evangelical Christian base was so strong for President Trump. They shouldn't be. And one of the main reasons is the Supreme Court. And you see throughout our state, the state of Ohio, and throughout the country, you know, evangelical Christians who stood strong for President Trump in the election and continue to. And for many of them, it's because of the importance of the Supreme Court.
Mm.
And the federal judiciary in general. It's not just Supreme Court justices. I mean, it's the district and appellate courts as well.
Well, that's right. And that's where, you know, a lot of the nominees are hung up right now. And hopefully things will get expedited with the process of approving the president's appointments to the federal bench. We're talking with State Treasurer Josh Mandel, who's running again for U.S. Senate in 2018. Josh, as you're traveling in the state of Ohio and talking with folks, tell us a little bit about your travels right now and who you're meeting with and the kind of conversations you're having.
Meeting with folks all over the state of Ohio. If people want to learn more about me, they can go to my website at joshmandel.com. It's joshmandel.com. We're building a grassroots organization like no one has ever seen in the state of Ohio. We're crisscrossing the state. We're, you know, by the end of this thing, we'll be in all 88 counties, and we're building relationships with, you know, folks across the state of Ohio who want to take their country back. One of the things I'm running on is term limits. You know, there's all these politicians, Sherrod Brown and many others in Washington, who've spent their entire adult life there, and it needs to change. In this election, Chris, I'll actually be 40 years old, and Sherrod Brown will be 40 years in politics. He's been running for office since Richard Nixon was president. And I think it's clear to the voters that you're not going to change Washington with some guy like Sherrod Brown, who's been running for office since Nixon was president. And you're also not going to represent our values, Midwest modest values in the state of Ohio, with someone like Sherrod Brown, who's voted with Elizabeth Warren 98% of the time. You know, that Massachusetts liberal, Vermont liberal, California liberal style, that's who Sherrod Brown is. And it's just not representative of who we are as Ohioans. So if any of your listeners want to join our cause and join our movement, you know, they should visit our website at joshmandel.com, and we'd love to get people involved. Sherrod Brown's side will have more money. They got a ton of money coming from limousine liberals on the East Coast and the West Coast. And, you know, our support is grassroots support from moms and dads and citizens throughout the state of Ohio.
Well, very good. Well, thank you, Josh, for taking time out to join us today, telling us about your faith coalition. We appreciate that and your endorsement of getting rid of the Johnson Amendment. We're fully in support of that and want to thank you for taking time today.
Always good to be on, Chris, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. God bless you, my friend.
God bless.
Again, that's State Treasurer Josh Mandel, who is running as a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Ohio in 2018. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Okay, and just want to give a program note. We just had on State Treasurer Josh Mandel, who is a candidate for the U.S. Senate. Wanted to let you know that the Ohio Christian Alliance does not endorse or support any political party or candidate, but that we are nonpartisan in that way. But we do provide educational voter resources, voter guides, also voter registration, and candidate forums or public forums for candidates to share their views. So with that, I want to turn to some announcements we want to share with you. This coming Saturday, September 9th at 1 p.m. at the Holy Cross Cemetery in Akron at 100 East Waterloo Road in Akron, there will be the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. There is a memorial there at that cemetery for the unborn that the Knights of Columbus had erected a few years back. And our good friend, Denise Leopold of Northeast Ohio Right to Life, is holding an observance. And the speakers include Robin Swoboda, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, State Senator Frank LaRose, Pastor Al Davis, myself, a few others will be joining us. And we encourage you, it's open to the public, to come on out. We'll have an observance at 1 p.m. again at Holy Cross Cemetery in observance of the National Remembrance for Aborted Children. And so that's this Saturday. Also want to share with you that we are working right now. The state school board is trying to do away with what we accomplished 5 years ago. Many of you know the founding of American Documents curriculum, which we were successful after 10 years of legislative work to get through the Ohio State House and signed by Governor Kasich in 2012, has been implemented over the last 5 years in all of Ohio's 88 school districts. Namely, that the teaching in American government and history studies curriculum in state schools include the study of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Ohio Constitution, and the Northwest Ordinance from the 8th through the 12th grade. Well, there are liberals on the state school board who are seeking to pass a resolution on their September 18th meeting. I will be there along with others. We will be speaking against this proposal. They're trying to do away with the end of course exam. Well, you know what that means. If they do away with the end of course exam, teachers will not teach the subject matter. It won't be in the testing, and so there won't be any compelling to teach the subject matter. So they're trying to confuse us on this one, folks, but stay the course with me. If we can get past this hurdle, it'd be good for another 5 years at least, because every 5 years they do an assessment of the social studies standards in Ohio. They did a public input period this summer. Many of you did comment. I've been talking with members of the Ohio Department of Education, State School Board, and members of the legislature. Now, they can't pass legislation. I mean, the Founding American Documents curriculum, Senate Bill 165, that was passed in the 129th General Assembly, is the law of the land. But they can try to press upon the legislature, let's do away with some of this unnecessary testing. And right now it seems to be all the rage. Well, folks, we don't want to do away with the requirement of testing for the founding documents of our nation's republic in the Ohio classroom, do we? And everybody said, no, we don't. Amen. And I know that you're with me on that one. So here's what I need you to do. Contact your state school board member, and you have a couple weeks to do this, or you can call the general number, and I'm going to give that to you now, 614-728-2754. Again, the general number is 614-728-2754, and what that will do, will get you the general number, then ask for your state school board member. Basically, tell them where you live. They'll connect you to a voicemail. Also, you can go to their website, the Ohio State School Board website, and you can find your state representative, representative from the state school board, and email them that you don't want them to change the curriculum standards for American government and history in high school. Join us on the, in this fight, folks. You're going to be hearing more about it. We're going to dedicate next week's program to it in its entirety and have experts coming in and weighing in on this one. Again, we're going to need your help. And so pray with us, work with us to the saving of the constitutional studies in the Ohio classroom. And we need your help. You can also call our phone line at 330-887-1922. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and you'll find our website. More information is there in its entirety about this subject matter. And also we'll give you the link to the proposal that they have drafted that they're going to vote on September 18th. So we're going to need your help on that one. Well, we hope that you enjoy these broadcasts of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Again, News and Focus comes to you each week at this time. It is aired several times through the week and on other channels as well around the state of Ohio. The listing of those radio stations are listed at our website. If you missed any of today's program, you can download the podcast also at our website at ohioca.org. This is Chris Long. God bless you, and let's be praying for the folks in Florida. Let's pray that that storm moves out to sea. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.